Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Hi, welcome to today's program. Thanks for tuning in to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem, Ted Ross at the controls. We've got Carissa at the phones and a guest in studio today, Ted.
Yeah, that's fun. I wore my good shirt today. Well,
and we all appreciate that, too.
Yes,
so you're looking great. Folks, watching at home, just want to get a little closer to the radio so you can, see the vibrant color. That'll be good. We are a week and a half away from our full share in Faith Radio. Just want to remind people of that. And thank you for your gift that helps us reach people for Christ and help them to grow in their faith. And also want to mention, too, there's an event coming up at Northwestern, the University of Northwestern, on the 19th called FUEL. It's a conference, a leadership conference, and even if you don't think you're a leader, it really is about having influence and great speakers and be part of that. And we've got some tickets to give away on our website. If you go to the Connecting Faith show page on myfaithradio.com, you can sign up for those.
Well, a wonderful opportunity. Yeah, it'd be great.
Speaking of great speakers who isn't actually part of the FUEL conference, but I'm sure that they wish he would be. and after this hour, they'll be wondering, can we still get him? Book him back. But he's actually in the area for a conference, and that's why it worked out great to have Greg Speck back in studio with us. I think last time Greg was here, probably on with Susie Larson, and so we promised him a quiet, sensible hour here on Connecting Faith, as opposed to the craziness of the promise.
Yeah, right.
It is great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Greg, good to have you here. Greg is a youth and family communicator, and he's written a number of books, speaks all the time, really, across the country, around the world, and focuses a lot on teens. But also Spiritual Emphasis Weeks. In fact, he's been on the campus of the University of Northwestern speaking at chapel. And I was just telling him before the program on behalf of a former Northwestern student who went through many chapels. When guys like Greg Speck come, it's always a blessing. Not that the chapels aren't always good, but we paid attention.
Wow, well, that's so nice. And Northwestern is a great school to speak for. Students, so easy, so engaging, so fun. I've had a great time.
Good. And he read it just like we wrote it up for him, so no. By the way, we do have one of Greg's books. It came out a couple of years ago. It's called Living for Jesus Beyond the Spiritual High. And we got 5 copies to give away, so if you'd like to sign up for a drawing for that and maybe just join in the conversation, maybe you've heard Greg speak or that he has influenced your kids and helped you in your parenting or your marriage, love to have you join the conversation. We'll give the phone number out right away. It's 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Greg's actually in the area, going to be speaking at a conference Saturday, September 12th, called Reconnecting with Love and Laughter, a one-day marriage conference at the Woodbury Community Church for those in the Twin Cities area. And Greg, I was going to start with a question because I know you do speak to a lot of teens, but you also talk marriages. And I'm wondering, would you go to a marriage conference if you weren't speaking? And why or why not?
Yeah, absolutely yes. And as a matter of fact, Bonnie and I do go to marriage conferences. Just because I say to people, look, you buy a car, you put a chunk of change down for that car. Every once in a while, you get a tune-up. It just makes sense. Well, chances are you've put down a chunk of change for your wedding. So every once in a while, you want to get a tune-up. It just makes sense. Why wait until we're in crisis? Why wait until we're falling apart to get some help? Regularly do something that's going to benefit your marriage, keep you on the right track. So Bonnie and I try to do at least something once a year for our marriage.
And we're talking, you've got, 36 in? 36 years.
Oh, yes, 36 years. Yeah. I know I don't look that old.
No, well, no,
I know.
At all, so.
I know you were going to
well,
say
I
that.
Well, I was, just, you know, just kind of wondering, but, you know, did you meet in preschool or junior high? How did that happen?
So. Yes, four kids and three grandchildren and a grandchild on the way.
You know, you when you speak at a marriage conference, even to students, you run into a lot of blended families today, right? I mean, that is
yes.
That does that change what you have to say, and you know, maybe what students are facing when they, because you know, marriage is still an interest, I think, for most students, at least on a Christian college campus, probably. So.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It is such a new set of challenges for a blended family. I say to the step parent, when you walk into that, you have no inherent authority. Zero, zippo, nada. And when the child says to you, you're not my dad, you're not my mom, you know what? Don't get mad at that. That's reality. That's the truth. So what do you need to do? You need to build relationship. That needs to be your number one goal, is to invest in them, spend time with them, get to know them. If you walk into that marriage and that family and your attitude is, it's my way or the highway, wow, you are in for a rough, rough ride. Take the time to build relationship with those children.
You talked about investing. I know the conference had a write-up a little bit and said, talk about the tools to help you invest in your marriage for the long haul. And I'm thinking, you know, we all like investment advice. So let's talk about what investment advice could you give us for marriage for the long haul? We want to see, you know, 36 years or 46 years or 56 years. What does that take?
Yeah, well, some of the topics I'm going to talk about is effective communication. That in our homes, we usually have two types of communicators. We have emotional communicators and we have cognitive communicators. Cognitive communicators are what's the time, what's the temperature, what's the score, how much does it cost? Don't tell me a story. I don't need a story. Just get to the point. What's the point? And emotional communicators, they want to deal with feelings. How do you feel? How do I feel? How do we feel? So we constantly feel like we're missing each other. We constantly are saying, you don't really understand me. You don't really get me. So what we're going to talk about is one is not better than the other. They're just different. And how do you honor each other's style of communication so you feel like you're connecting? One way you do that is always respond to emotion with emotion. Now, emotion meaning intensity? No. Emotion meaning empathy, understanding, caring, and always respond to fact with fact. And if you will do that, then you begin to speak their language, and they'll be like, oh, okay, they do understand me. Then I'm going to talk about how do we resolve conflict and how do we do it in a positive way. We're going to talk about sexual intimacy. And I'm concerned with any group who would trust me with that talk. But anyway, we're going to talk about sexual intimacy. And then we're going to talk about what are some of the hurdles? What are some of the roadblocks? What are some of the things that slam our marriage, that seek to pull us apart? And how do we respond to those?
You're talking about answering emotion with emotion. You know, you're speaking to people in the upper Midwest here. I mean, Scandinavians.
We don't do emotion.
I'm sorry. Is there like a remedial course that we can take before we actually get to emotion?
Oh, well, we'll serve some lutefisk and see where it goes from there.
But that is, I mean, that is, some people's, I mean, character is... you know, emotion isn't sort of a natural first language, right?
So, right, yeah. Right. Well, for some people it is. That's really their go-to. They feel everything intensely. But for others, no. Emotion is on the back burner. You know, they're more, let's just think this through reasonably. Well, and that's great. But in a marriage, opposites tend to attract. So you've got a cognitive communicator who marries an emotional communicator, and you drive each other insane. So we're going to talk about how do we effectively communicate.
Did opposites attract in your case?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Bonnie and I are so different from one another, and our relationship takes work. You know, I say to couples, you understand if you're going to be any good at business, you're going to have to work at it. You understand if you're going to be any good athletically, you're going to have to work at it. Musically, you're going to have to work at it. In any area, you're going to have to work at it. So why do you think, just because you said I do and stood before witnesses, that somehow you're going to magically get along in marriage? Because the reality is you don't magically get along. And there is a tendency for you to drift apart. And if you're going to maintain oneness, you've got to invest in it. You've got to work at it. It does not come easily.
You've been in doing ministry for, you know, what, 3 decades or so?
I mean, 126 years.
And 120 of those have been really spectacular, I think. Is it more of a challenge for people in ministry? I mean, you're speaking on this topic, you know, maybe half the, you know, half of every month. You know, that puts pressure on. I mean, we hear about ministry families that kind of, you know, blow up or blow apart. I mean, that, do you feel that pressure?
Well, actually, this has been a huge plus to our relationship and our marriage. When we joined the speaker team of Family Life, Dennis Rainey, they do the Weekends to Remember, and we began to go do those conferences, Bonnie and I looked at each other and we said, look, if we're not practicing this, we can't preach it. We can't communicate it. So it has been a huge plus for us as a couple. And any job has pluses and minuses. My minus is when I'm gone, I'm gone. It's not like Bonnie can call me and say, honey, the dishwasher's broken, can you come home? Which I couldn't fix anyway, but I may be 1,000 miles away, so I can't do that. But a plus is every month I get 15 to 18 days off. So I kind of have the same schedule as an airline pilot, kind of half the month on, half the month off. And I can work my schedule around special occasions, dates, what's going on. So that's been really good with our family. So I've had more time off than the typical dad would have off in being with their family. So I think on the whole, this has been a huge plus for our family.
There's probably some value of coming to that place of commitment, sort of a stake in the ground, a line in the sand, say, hey, if we're gonna be an example, we have to practice this, right? I mean, whether it's, you know, joining a Family Life team or whatever it is. I mean, anybody could do that. Any couple could do that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it is never too late. Never too late. People who say to me, oh, I've already gone too far, I've already messed up too much. No, there's no hope. That is a lie. That is a lie from the pit and from the enemy. It is not too late. You can begin to turn things around starting right now.
If you think about Greg Speck flying the plane that you're on, just, you know, let that thought keep you.
That'll improve your prayer life.
Well, that's right. Just keep that in mind here, and we'll talk more with Greg. We'll see where the plane lands, if it does, here in the next few minutes. We're talking about marriage and family, strengthening marriages, reconnecting with love and laughter. It's a one-day marriage conference that Greg is in town for. He's also been speaking at the University of Northwestern and the college campus. We're going to talk a little bit about college students. Also, maybe even a little brain surgery, getting into the mind of your teens. All that and more coming up. We do have some copies of Greg's book, Living for Jesus Beyond the Spiritual High. It's great practical insight and a lot of fun. We've got some copies of that to give away. So give us a call to sign up for that, 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. And if you'd like to ask Greg a question or just share a comment, you're always welcome to do that as well. And you can do that on the phone or online, myfaithradio.com, and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link right there. We'll continue with Greg Speck more in just a moment. know, it's always fun to play songs that, you know, both you and the guest readily recognize and can just sing along. Oh. Not saying that we've, you know, aged at all.
No.
But just one of those classic songs that we happen
Absolutely,
to remember.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, you remember where you were the first time you heard it? No, probably not. Greg Speck with us today. Greg's a youth and family communicator. He speaks at the national conferences, camps, churches, retreats, spiritual emphasis weeks across the world. And in fact, you're just on campus here at the University of Northwestern doing a couple of chapel sessions. And I know, I think as Tony Campolo talks about, you know, spiritual emphasis weeks where often you get a chance to speak for extended periods of time on a college campus. Tony Campolo calls it, what, Be Nice to God Week.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, would couples do well to take a kind of Be Nice to Each Other Week once in a while?
Yes. So. How about daily? How about each day you seek to speak life into each other? How about just a kind word, sharing one thing you appreciate about one another? You know, acting out Gary Chapman's The Love Languages, and look for ways to build each other up. We get in such negative ruts as couples, and pretty soon we kind of begin to neglect one another, and then we start really moving into some dangerous ground. So, yeah, how about speaking life? How about every day be nice to one another?
It was just talking during the break, you know, Dr. Bill Harley has his book, His Needs, Her Needs, Five Basic Needs for Men, Five Basic Needs for Women. Emerson Eggerich, you know, says women need love, men need respect. What does Greg Speck say are the biggest needs for men and women?
Yeah, well, I would totally agree with that. But here's an interesting experiment, okay? Women, stand in front of your husband. Say, in my right hand is love, in my left hand is respect. If you could only choose one, which would you choose? Because I would say that a lot of men would choose respect, but not all men. So see what your husband would choose. Men, stand in front of your wife. Say, in my right hand is love, in my left hand is respect. If you could only choose one, what would you choose? And see what they would choose. But at the same time, we need to give each other both of those. Men, you need to respect your wife. You need to love your wife. Women, you need to respect your husband. You need to love your husband. And here's what I hear from women sometimes. Women say this, well, my husband needs to earn my respect. To which I respond, really? Then does that mean you have to earn his love? Don't you expect him to love you unconditionally? And the answer is yes. Well, then I want to say to you, then you need to respect him unconditionally. And there is a tendency for us to meet each other's expectations. So if your expectations are positive, they'll begin to meet those. If your expectations are negative, oh, yeah, they'll start to meet those too.
Yeah, well, and there's plenty of, I guess, you know, negative influences, you know, maybe not overtly, but certainly subtly, that influence us day by day, whether it's media or whatever it is. I mean, that we're, you know, just culture is moving obviously away from a life of devotion to God.
So that's right.
We're probably not even aware how in trouble we might be.
Right? Exactly, and that's why it's so good for you. For example, this Saturday, to take the day. You know, I'm at Woodbury Community Church. Conference doors open at 8:30. Conference starts at 9 in the morning. You're done by 4:30. Come on. One day to just get a tune-up for your marriage, to get some practical information. And one of my goals is I want the day to be fun. I do a lot of humor. I do a lot of craziness. Speak to important issues. I would just encourage you, make that a priority. Come on out, sharpen your marriage relationship. We can always take the next step as individuals and as couples.
That's the old saying, the best thing we could do for our kids, right, to love each other.
So yes.
What does that mean in practice? What would that look like?
Yeah, well, that would look like you seeking to get along with one another. It does not mean conflict-free. Come on. You cannot take two unique creations of God with different gifts, talents, abilities, likes, dislikes, and not have conflict. There's going to be conflict. But it means there is a security there in the home, that the children understand that dad loves mom and mom loves dad, and they are together till death do we part. Several Valentine's days ago, I took my children when they were smaller, and we sat down at the dining room table, and I brought my wife in. I sat her down, and I said to my four children, I said, look at me. I will never leave your mother. I will never leave her. If she gets sick, I'm going to be there. If she gets hurt, I'm going to be there. If she makes bad choices, I'm going to be there. I will never leave her. I have men who come up to me, hardly ever women, but men who come up to me who say, you can't say that. You can't make a statement like that. You don't know what's going to happen 6 days from now, 6 months from now, 6 years from now. And I say to them, you're wrong. Because my love for Bonnie has nothing to do with the way I feel. My love for Bonnie is based upon my commitment to Jesus Christ, my character as a man, and my word as my bond. And because of that, I will never leave her. Your children need to understand that. Your children need to hear that from you, and then your children need to see you loving one another. Hugs, kisses, words of affirmation. Children thrive in that kind of environment.
I was thinking about, men being the spiritual leader of the home. Would that include just doing dishes? Does that qualify?
Wow, that's a big step.
That's a big step.
That would be good. Anything you can do to be helpful, your wife will truly appreciate it. I don't know any woman who's started a conflict in the middle of her husband vacuuming the house. So I'm just saying it has some real pluses right there in doing that.
Yeah.
But as men, I think it's good that we take the initiative to lead our family spiritually. Spending a little time in prayer, spending a little time in the Word, doing some things that are going to enrich our family spiritually, I think that's a good thing. And I usually say to men, when you first start this with children, less is more. Less is more. Meaning, go like 3 to 5 minutes. You know, read a verse, pray, you're done. And the kids are like, oh, that wasn't so bad. But if you start out to go 40 minutes, you're going to kill it for good. So less is more.
Well, and your spouse probably would appreciate that just as much, too.
Yeah. Yes. Or she'll be up doing the dishes while you're in the middle of the devotion.
Just let him finish, and I'll just get the dish and get the table clean. Talking with Greg Speck today. Greg's a conference speaker, speaks nationally, internationally as well, and written several books, including Living for Jesus When the Party's Over. We've got the Living for Jesus Beyond the Spiritual High. We've got some copies of that to give away. Sex is Worth Waiting For. He's got a new book that just came out. We'll talk about that here on the other side of the break. And by the way, if you'd love to want to join the conversation, you can do that with a phone call at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. And you can also sign up for a copy of the book, Living for Jesus Beyond the Spiritual High. It'd be something that you could maybe just enjoy personally and share with your family. It'd be great for your teens as well. More with Greg Speck coming up in just a moment here on Connecting Faith. Today to have Greg Speck back in studio. Greg happens to be in the area for those in the Twin Cities area. He's in for a conference this weekend, actually speaking to some teens Friday night, but then reconnecting with love and laughter, one-day marriage conference Saturday at Woodbury Community Church. And he speaks on college campuses and the churches and retreats and literally around the world. And has written several books, a new one just coming out. We're going to talk about that. We've got some copies of Living for Jesus Beyond the Spiritual High, one of the books that he wrote from Moody Press here a couple of years ago or so. And, in fact, Greg, you're saying you'd actually autograph these?
Absolutely. And just think how much those would be worth once I die.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. Yeah, it's, we're talking big money. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's so, I mean, you think about that. It's not really, that's not a long-term investment issue
no,
either.
No, they're not going to have to wait that
sure,
long.
Sure, I don't.
No,
it's just
yeah.
So this is, you know, if you want investment advice, this is the program that that offers it for free. All right, living for Jesus Beyond the Spiritual High. Your brother-in-law called and just said that, mentioned the relationship with his stepson has grown over the years, and he's now honored to perform his wedding coming up. God's good.
That is so good. Roger Cupp is my brother-in-law. He is a great guy, and he stepped into a blended family. So he worked really hard at developing relationships with his children, did a great job, and the evidence of that is they've asked him to perform the wedding, and I think that is a huge honor to him. That's pretty sweet.
And those that are in blended families, I mean, it's not something that's going to happen overnight.
Right? That's right.
It takes some time.
Yeah, so. You got to build those relationships, yeah. And that takes a long time.
Yeah.
You know, teenagers usually spell love T-I-M-E. So, you know, spending that time with them speaks volumes to them.
We just before the break, we're talking about, you know, one of the best things you can do as parents is to love each other, to help your kids, and you use the word insecurity. That helps with kids' insecurity, thinking it's back to school time. I've got a granddaughter, you know, first day of school today. I mean, there's a lot of anxiety and apprehension, isn't it? I mean, there's insecurity is a real issue for kids today.
Yeah, it is. And it's tied in to so many other things. So many students today struggle big time with depression. Relationships are key to them. And if they don't feel like they have anybody at that school that they really connect with, oh, man, yeah, anxiety, depression. You know, when schools ask me to come in and speak, and honestly, I don't do as many public schools anymore, but the number one topic they ask me to speak on is bullying. The number of kids who have been picked on is terrible, and that leads to insecurities, and that leads to depression. Right after chapel today at Northwestern, I had an individual come up to me and just talk to me about the fact that when they were younger in school, they were bullied in terrible ways. And that leaves scars. That leaves emotional pain that some carry around with them for the rest of their lives. So we need to be sensitive to our children, what they're going through, what they're experiencing. Listen to them and remember the best time to communicate with the teenager is nighttime. They are typically nocturnal beings. So even though you have to get up early in the morning, taking some time and listening to them is huge. Another place you'll find a teenager will open up to you is in the car when you're driving, because you're not looking at each other. You're looking out the window, and sometimes they'll just start opening up. If that happens, take the long way home. You know, circle the neighborhood 20 times. I mean, strike while the iron is hot and take advantage of opportunities to listen to your children.
Is there maybe a question or an approach that we can take so that we don't maybe dive in too deep? Because I'm sure as parents, we always want to sort of rush in and fix right away too sometimes.
Yeah, and again, the same thing is true with a teenager as it is with husband and wife, meaning teenagers are typically emotional communicators. Not all, but a lot of them are. So when they come to you and say, this has been the worst day of my life and everything went wrong, and our response is, well, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Well, you know what? That is a wonderful biblical truth. But that's exactly what they don't need to hear. And you have just responded to their emotion with fact. Don't do that. When they come to you and say, this is the worst day of my life, you need to be like, honey, that must be so hard. I am so sorry. Tell me a little bit. What went on? What happened? Open the door for them more to share. And when you respond with that emotion, it's going to open them to the truth, because they feel like you understand them.
And we hope that we do, but, I mean, the fact is that their world is pretty significantly different than when we were teens.
Totally different. Totally. If you as a parent say to your child, I know what it means to be a teenager. I was a teenager once. Yeah, no. No, what you faced is nothing like what they are facing. People say to me, you started ministering to teenagers in 1975. Well, give me one change. And I say, today, teenagers get into more negative stuff in a much younger age. Honestly, in 1975, in issues we were talking about in college and late in high school are now being faced by fifth and sixth graders. So it is it's a hard time. It's a hard time to grow up. They are being pounded by the world.
And, I mean, we know that, you know, our brain development isn't, it's a progression. So, at, fifth and sixth grade, how are we even able to handle those things?
Yeah, we aren't. Yeah. We aren't. And we're not able, a young person doesn't think of the future. They don't think of consequences. They don't think about what's going to happen down the road. How is this going to affect me a week from now, a month from now, a year from now? They're living in the now. And oftentimes, a question a student will ask himself is this: does it feel good or doesn't it? If it feels good, if it's meeting needs in my life, I'll do it. If it doesn't, I won't do it. But not everything that feels good is good for us. And sometimes things that feel very good to us in the moment, in the long run, can do us tremendous damage.
In the book, we've got some copies, Living for Jesus Beyond the Spiritual High. And by the way, you can call us if you'd like to sign up for one of those, 877-93-FAITH. Just thinking, there are probably some parents that had students that came back from a summer camp experience, or maybe they did a summer missions trip, and it really was a spiritual high.
Yeah.
So what does it mean to live for Jesus beyond the spiritual high?
Right. I say to teenagers this: feelings are great. Feelings are wonderful. Feelings are tremendous. Feelings never last. Our faith in Jesus Christ cannot be based upon how we feel at any certain time. Our faith in Jesus Christ is built upon the facts of God's word, and that's true no matter how we feel. What if you ate every single day, the way you eat at Thanksgiving? No, that's ridiculous. But once a year, we got turkey, we got ham, we got roast beef, we got sweet potatoes, mashed potatoes, baked potatoes, potatoes are rotten, we got vegetables, we got pecan pie, pumpkin pie. We have all this great stuff, and we enjoy it, but we don't expect to eat that way every day. Every once in a while, God will give us a Thanksgiving of feelings, where we'll sense his presence, we'll enjoy it, we'll embrace the emotion, it'll be awesome. We don't expect to feel that way every day. So we decide, as an act of the will, we choose to follow Jesus no matter how we feel.
You can find out more in Greg's book, Living for Jesus Beyond the Spiritual High. Got some practical helps. You also have a new book out. We should talk about that, which is, a book that's not really focused on feelings either, right? Built to Last just came out.
Exactly, yes. And it is a devotional for teenagers on the book of James. And what makes this unique is that every day I take them through one verse, and we go through the entire book of James. So as soon as you get through with this devotional, man, you should know the book of James. So I explain the verses to them, I apply it to their lives, and then I give them something to pray about, something to think about, and something to journal about. And there are the blank pages in the devotional where they can go ahead and journal and write some thoughts and prayers and things like that. So my whole hope and my desire is that the book will draw them to the living God, so they can experience him face to face.
Well, and it is, the book of James is, above all, it's a practical kind of a handbook for living, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I picked James because it's one of my favorite books in the Bible. And it just talks about, man, let's get out there and let's live Jesus.
Yeah. And I assume that, all through the centuries, but we hear more today that today's generation is actually looking for something. Challenge me. Give me a purpose for living. Give me something more than, you know, what the world offers.
Absolutely. They want a cause. They want to make a difference. They want to do something that's of worth and of value. And I say to their teenagers, there's no greater cause than the cause of Christ. And look, years ago, I would try to tell a teenager about Jesus, and honestly, they might tell me to kiss off. You know what? I never hear that anymore. Never hear that anymore. That when I sit down and talk to a teenager about Jesus, they may not agree. They might not initially accept that or receive that, but they're open. They're searching. They believe there's something out there. They want that something. They're not sure what that something is. And I want to tell them what you're looking for is Jesus.
One of your first books was Sex is Worth Waiting For, and it seems like the whole issue of sexuality has become, I mean, that's the center of every discussion, it seems like, no matter what your age, I guess. But what would you say differently maybe if you wrote the book today compared to when you wrote it several years ago?
Yeah, several years. Well, actually, we just did a rewrite on that book because we did need to bring it up to date because, you know, it looked awesome for the 1980s, but we needed to update it, so I did that. One chapter I included in there is people come up to me and say to me, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in the Bible. Can you give me one good reason why I shouldn't be having sex? And I say to them, no, I can't give you one reason. I can give you 13 reasons. So I have one chapter in there where even if your friends say, I've rejected Christ, are there any good reasons I should wait? Here are 13 solid reasons why you should wait. Because anytime God tells us something, it's for our own good. He's not seeking to rob us of anything. He's seeking that we might experience life the fullest, the greatest, to know him and to take this gift of sex and sexuality and experience it the way he created us to experience it. And there's good reasons why he said wait. I mean, he created sex. The world did not create sex. God created sex. So he knows how we can experience it at its very ultimate.
It does seem kind of interesting that it's sort of at the center of everything, right? I mean, every discussion, it all comes back to, I think John Stone Street calls it pelvic issues. I mean, it's all about, you know, rights or privileges. It's everywhere.
And just notice if you're watching TV or notice when you're walking through the mall, how many times you get slammed by sexual images. That honestly, sex does sell. And so we are constantly being bombarded by sex and sexuality. The programs we watch, the humor, so much of the humor is sexual humor. And basically, people are having sex with one another, and we see very few negative consequences through the media. But let me tell you, people today get pounded because they're not waiting to experience sex the way God created them to experience it.
Talking about one of Greg's books, Sex is Worth Waiting For. He's also written several others, Living for Jesus When the Party's Over, Living for Jesus Beyond the Spiritual High. We've got some copies of that one to give away, and you can sign up for it at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. And we're going to continue talking more with the speaker and the author. I don't know, do you call him pastor? All-around
well,
good guy?
Well, I'm ordained.
Yeah,
yeah. I can marry or bury you.
I will. I'll sit up straighter. Pastor Greg Speck in studio. More in a moment, 877-93-FAITH. We're talking to brain surgeon Greg Speck. We're opening up the mind of our teens. So, actually, it's probably not. You could do You could do some incisions, but probably, you know.
I probably want to stay away from brain surgery.
Maybe so. Greg's written a brand new book called Built to Last, which is a daily devotional for teens on the book of James. You can find out more at his website, gregspeck.com. Apparently, it's family day here on Connecting Faith, Greg, because your niece Emily called. And she said it's wonderful to have such a strong example in their family. So Greg truly practices these principles in their family, and he's made such a positive impact on my life. And she's his only niece, so she's the favorite, she says.
Absolutely, so. She's the favorite, okay. Emily. And she's a wonderful mom. She's a wonderful mom and invests a lot of time in her daughter in building relationships. So that is very cool.
I'm wondering if we should take an offering, because obviously you're going to have to pay the family for making the calls.
Yeah.
That's going to kind of be a little little hit on the budget, isn't it? So.
Yeah. Soon my kids will be calling in.
Sure. And he has four, so this could get costly, yeah. People. So, no, if you want to call in, you've got a couple minutes left at 877-93-FAITH. You know, one of the conference you're doing here coming up this weekend, Reconnecting with Love and Laughter, a one-day marriage conference. I'm wondering, do most married couples have a sense of humor about their lives together?
Oh, man. Yes, but sometimes the issues are so serious that it's been a long time since we've laughed together. And that's one of the things I'd love, and it's much easier for me to learn if I can laugh a little bit. So I say to couples, I'm hoping that you can come this day maybe to lower the wall a little bit, take off the mask, and to be able to laugh a little bit. I think that's healthy. I think that's a good thing. And I'm not going to make light of serious issues. I understand they're serious, and we're going to address those serious issues. But to laugh at the same time, I just think that's a really good thing as well.
And it does – it's something that can be cultivated, right?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And if we listen to you more, it would come more naturally.
Thank you.
Probably.
Thank you. I didn't want to actually say that
sure.
myself, but thank you.
You know, I was thinking about as you were talking about, you know, some of the challenges that teens are facing and, you know, some of the books that you've written to address them. Say a word to maybe youth pastors and youth ministers, because, I mean, they have a tough job. You speak, you come in and oftentimes they have a chance to speak and maybe leave the kids, you know, challenged or convicted, and then you head out of town and youth pastors trying to maybe pick up the pieces.
Absolutely, yeah. I was a youth pastor for 10 years. Mm-hmm. So my word to youth pastors, God bless you. You are on the front lines. You are the nitty-gritty of youth ministry. If every youth speaker drops dead tomorrow, youth ministry goes on. So I am so thankful for their commitment to students to make a difference. And it's not easy being a youth pastor. And I want to say to some parents that you are way, way too negative. You are way, way too critical of your youth pastor. That that if your youth pastor was perfect, then he would probably not be your youth pastor. He'd be at a different church. So you've got to give some slack to the youth pastor. Is he going to make mistakes? Yeah. But guess what, parents? You make mistakes too. So here's the deal. Starting now, treat your youth pastor the way you want Jesus to treat you. Do you want him to be merciful to you? Be merciful to them. Do you want Jesus to understand you? Then understand them. And as many times as you have to say something you don't like about youth ministry, just as many times you need to share things you like about youth ministry. What do you appreciate that this man or woman is doing, and then speak that to them as well?
Are there ways that we can work more closely with them so that you know, we don't offload all the spiritual growth assignments to the church and take it on ourselves?
Yeah, it really does need to be a team effort, okay? That parents, you cannot push off the spiritual responsibility of your children to a youth pastor. The youth pastor is there to support you as a family in helping your children to grow, but you have to take the primary responsibility for doing that. You can be involved in youth ministry as long as it's okay with your kids. You know, you ought to ask them, how would you like me involved in youth ministry? And some kids would think that was awesome. Other kids wouldn't think that was as great. But you can be involved in task. You can be involved relationally. You can be involved with vision. You can be there to support the youth pastor and help and encourage them as they lead your children. So it does need to be a team effort.
Well, and your children have grown. And I was thinking, maybe we should just say a word about connecting with or reconnecting maybe with your children as adults. Any advice or perspective on that?
Yeah. I continue to seek to speak life into my children. Okay, so my oldest son, Justin, he's married, two kids. When we go to visit them and we walk in the door, even though I hear these little voices saying, Grandpa, 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 first thing I do is I go over to my son and I hug him and I kiss him and I say, Justin, I love you. And he says, Dad, I love you too. And I say to Justin, you're a great dad. You're a great husband. I'm proud of you. How many of you would want to have heard that from your mother or father? How many of you long for that kind of word? Pass that on to your children. You know, I go to my daughter Julia, my daughter Kelly, my son Garrett. I tell them all the time, I love you. And look, I can send my kids a text. That's great. It's gone. I can send my kids a Facebook message. Great. It's gone. I can send them an email. Great. It's gone. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll go out and I'll buy a card and I'll write on that card, I believe in you. I'm proud of you. You are the best. God has awesome plans for you. Da, 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 da. And I send them that card. And do you know what? They keep those cards. And one day I'll be dead. But I will continue to be able to speak into my children through those cards and through that encouragement. So parents, do that. Even though your child's 30 or 40 or 50, continue to speak into them and encourage them. Stop always correcting them, okay? Especially when your kid, 20s, 30s, and you're still trying to parent them. No, stop it. Stop it. Your role now is about, I believe in you, I love you, I'm proud of you, speak that life into them.
Yeah, what an encouraging word. And maybe just to end on the note that, you know, our Heavenly Father, you know, if we didn't hear that from our parents, it doesn't mean that our Heavenly Father doesn't speak that to us. In fact, I know you spoke in Zephaniah 3 today in chapel.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And that's exactly what I said to them. You know, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. That God loves you, not because you do something, but because you are his child. He loves you. He delights in you. He believes in you. Absolutely, yes. So we treat others the way God treats us.
Good word. Good place to stop. Today's conversation, good to have Greg Speck back in studio. Nice to see you again.
Thank you. It was great being with you. I appreciate you having me on.
Greg Speck is a speaker, a conference speaker, camps, churches, retreats, spiritual emphasis weeks, doing a marriage conference this weekend for those in the Twin Cities area or interested in taking a little drive and having a little retreat, perhaps one day. Event at the Woodbury Community Church. It's reconnecting with love and laughter. And Greg, you can find out more about Greg's writings at his website, gregspeck.com, gregspeck.com. His latest book is a devotional for teens on the book of James called Built to Last. And we also have some copies of Living for Jesus, Beyond the Spiritual High, which Greg will be autographing now, which will look a little similar to my autograph, but just... But it'll really mean more, so just keep that in mind. So.
Thank you.
All right. If you missed part of today's show or maybe want to pass it on to a friend, you know, all our interviews, we post them online, and they're all shareable, and we love it when you remind others about the great programming available every day here on Faith Radio. So you go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page. You can find a copy of this interview or other great conversations we've had, and then pass it on to a friend. It's myfaithradio.com. Click on Connecting Faith.